Good to be here. I can hear my wife laughing already. God is good. Come on, we just sang a song. I've seen the goodness of the Lord, and what? I want more. The question for you today is, do you want more? Now, before you say yes, are you willing to pay the price to have more? See, we all want more if it's easy. Sometimes the things that God causes us to go through are difficult and they're hard. But if you want more, He's a good God. Amen? Now I want to remind you that Jesus came preaching the good news. Now what's another word for the good news? The gospel. That's right. Jesus came preaching the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the fact that although we live in a natural world, that there is a supernatural world in which we can walk in. Jesus didn't come and preach the message of how to be a better person. Jesus came to preach a message that there is a dimension in God that we can step into and that we can have for ourselves. You see, God loves you. But He also has a purpose and plan for your life that fits in with the purpose and plan that He has for all eternity. God wants you to be a useful vessel to Him. And it's challenging to do that. It's challenging to walk in the spirit realm when we are bombarded by all these physical things of the world. Right now, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is here? See, that's so critical. That's so important. I have absolutely no doubt that the Holy Spirit is here. Not because of the fact that I happen to be up here ministering, but because of the fact that there are believers in Christ sitting in the room. And we know that for every person who has been born again, born from above, has experienced something in the supernatural realm. Being a Christian is not a natural experience. Being a Christian is a supernatural experience. Because at the moment you made a decision to receive Jesus into your life, the moment you said, yes, Lord, I repent and I believe that you are the one that can deliver me from my sins and deliver me to eternity. The moment you made that decision, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. If you read in the book of Acts, what you'll find is that Jesus spoke to the 120 that were there. He spoke to the disciples. He spoke to the followers that were there. And He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has fallen upon you to be witnesses to me. There's a purpose to having the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's the challenge that I have for you today. Do you really want more? Do you really want more? I ask you to turn to Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. And I want us to not just read the scripture, but to analyze it in a sense, to read into it, to try and understand exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying when he penned this. Remembering that this is the Word of God. Philippians 1:6 says, he says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That He, being confident of this very thing, that He. So the question is, first question is, who is He? Now I know a lot of people would say, well, that's Jesus. Well, and yeah, that's true. You see, because we believe in one God and that He exists in three different personalities, if you will, He exists as the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But we know that at the time of this writing, we know that Jesus ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you. What does that mean? He's making intercession. He's praying for you. What in the world could he be praying for? You've already received him as Lord and Savior. His Holy Spirit already dwells in you. I believe that he making intercession for you so that you would receive everything that he has for you. There is more. Come on, can you get excited about that? There's more. It's not just about coming to church. It's not just about reading the Bible. There's more to being a Christian. The dictionary defines a Christian as one who believes in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so my question to you is, do you believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ? Well, where do we go to get the teachings of Jesus Christ? Do we learn about the teachings of Jesus Christ on the internet? You know, where do we go for our... Listen, what this Bible right here, this book right here, is the source of truth. And some of the things in the Bible are hard to take. They're difficult to believe sometimes. But what it requires of us is just to make a decision. I've read it. I believe it. And I'm going to act accordingly. In other words, it's not just an intellectual understanding, but there's something that takes place in the heart that makes you bold. You know, we heard a little earlier, I think in Tom's word, he talked about the anointing. The Spirit of God has anointed me. That's what that was on the Messiah. That's also spelled out in the Gospels. But the point is that you've been anointed for a purpose, but you need to let it out. You need to let it out. So Philippians 1:6 again, being confident of this very thing, that that the Holy Spirit, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, till Jesus comes back. Jesus is coming back. I know a lot of people today feel like he's coming back real soon. Whether he comes back soon or not, it doesn't make any difference. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that one day, either we're going to see him in the air, if you know what that means, this is a rapture, or we're going to see him face to face. Amen? The Holy Spirit has begun a good work in you. He'll complete it. What in the world does that mean? He started a good work in you. And he will complete it. It doesn't say, and he might complete it. It says, he will complete it. What's the good work that he is going to complete? We see that in John 6:28. Jesus is speaking to some people who are questioning him. And then they, the people, said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? In verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. You got to focus. This is the work of God. This is what we need to do. This is the sole thing that is critically important in our relationship with God. This is that you believe in him whom he sent. Believe in who? Believe in Jesus whom the Father has sent. You have to believe it all. You have to believe it all. Before I was in the ministry, I was a school teacher, and I was a believer as a school teacher, and what I found is that there are a lot of closet Christians hiding. You know, I'm sure it's true of no matter what workplace, that there are Christians you're rubbing shoulders with, and you don't even know they're Christians. A sadder story would be that they're rubbing shoulders with you, and they don't know that you're a Christian. That's really sad. And I've been there. I've been there. I'm not accusing anyone of anything that I haven't done or been through. But there was a point in my Christian walk where I said, I believe it. I don't care how, I'm going to use the word, ridiculous it may seem. I believe it and I will live accordingly. I will live according to my beliefs. I'm not going to live according to the things I agree with, but I'm going to live according to things that I believe. And anyway, I was, as a school teacher, at lunchtime, there was a teacher's lunchroom, and I didn't quite fit in anywhere. But I remember hanging out with the guys. There were men teachers there. And most of them were phys ed teachers, you know, coaches and things like that. And so they were into what the games that they would watch over the weekend, football games, basketball, whatever it might be. But they knew I was a Christian. And so this one guy, Don, not our Don back there, but Don, his name was Don, he began to tease me. And he said, "Are you trying to tell me that you believe the Bible?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I believe everything in the Bible." He said, "So you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale?" And I don't know where it came from, but something rose up inside of me, and I said, "I would believe it if Jonah swallowed the whale." And of course, ha ha ha, you know. But in that group was a guy by the name of Pat. And within a year, Pat came to me in my room after school. Nobody was around. Knocked on the door, came in. He was going through a crisis in his life, and he asked me to pray for him. And so I prayed for him, and then I introduced him to my friend Jesus. And he became born again. And he just was on fire for the things of God. You see, sometimes because we waver, because we buckle under the pressure of our society and our culture, we don't make it clear who we are. We are believers in Jesus. We are Christians because we believe, not because we go to the building that's a Christian church, not because we own a Bible that is a Christian Bible, but we are Christians because of what God has done in our hearts and our lives. So do you believe? See, that's the real issue today. Do you believe? Come on, can I hear an amen? Do you believe? Amen, you hear. It's easy to extract it out of you. Do you believe in the Bible? See, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, we live in a culture and society where, in my opinion, I'm going to give you an opinion about opinions. I believe that 99.9% of what you read, what you hear, what you watch is all about opinions. They are people who are voicing their opinions. They're not. It's not based on truth. And most of the time, it's not even based on fact, but they are giving opinions. And we're influenced tremendously by these opinions. Well, I can direct you to a source where there are no opinions. And that source is His Word. His Word is true. It's not filled with truth and opinions. It's not filled with truth and suggestions, but it is filled with truth from cover to cover. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Make sure you're with me. Because something's coming at the end. And I'm going to hold you to your words. Now, why is it sometimes we have trouble with the Word? Well, why is it we have trouble with some aspects of the Bible? Listen, I know one of the things that I used to have to deal with is my intellect. My mind would get in the way. I thought that it had to make sense to me. Come on, it doesn't have to make sense. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. He is spirit. God the Father is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So it's a spiritual realm. Now, why is it that we can watch a movie that deals with the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension or the sixth dimension or this or that? But we have trouble coming to the reality that although we are physical, that we are living in a physical world, we have our physical bodies, there is a supernatural realm that's available to us. And those that have stepped into it know it. And sometimes we as Christians, we can look at those who have stepped into that and we think of them as being a little wacky. Oh, they're just holy rollers. Have you heard that expression, holy rollers? You know, they fall to the ground, they roll from one end of the building to the other. We used to attach masking tape to them so they would pick up all the lint. Come on, the spiritual realm is not the same as the natural realm. And that's one of the things that gets in the way. We think that we have to understand. Listen, Isaiah chapter 55 says God's ways are higher than our ways. What does that mean? You can't figure them out. His ways are not our ways. What does that mean? He doesn't do things the way we would do things. But the spiritual realm is real. And the moment we make a decision to step into it, we're going to see tremendous things happen in our lives. You know, the other thing that we're afraid of is our pride. We don't want to look foolish. We don't want to sound foolish. My brother-in-law he's a Christian. He's not just a Christian. He's a radical Christian. He's on fire for the things of God. You can't see him without a t-shirt or something proclaiming how good God is. He always wants to talk about the things of the Spirit. He always wants to talk about the things of God. And you might say, well, you know, I don't want to be like that. You don't have to be like that. You have to be you. But the thing is, you have to be you unashamed of who you are and who God made you to be. And you are missing out on something very, very powerful if you're willing to just accept the fact, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. There's more. There's more. Amen? There's more. But you have to be hungry for the more. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he, the Holy Spirit, who has begun a good work in you, what is that good work? To believe on Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. How will he complete the work? How will the Holy Spirit complete the work? Is it a process of rehabilitation? Or is it a process of recreation? Now, when you talk about rehabilitation, I had an old house before we moved up into this area that needed to be rehabilitated. Yeah, my wife is saying, amen, yes, big time. Well, it was all we could afford, and it needed a whole lot of work. It needed work on the outside, needed work on the inside, it needed work in places that you couldn't even see. But rehabilitation has to do with taking something that is there and just sort of working on the outside, making it look good. But recreation is what we should have done. Torn the building down and started from scratch. That's recreation. And that's what God has done for you when you made a decision to make him Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says the following. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means you have to change the way you think about things. It means you have to change the way you think about God. It means that you have to change the way you think about the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people have, you know, studied the Bible, have gone to seminary, gone to Bible school, and done all of those things. Let me tell you something. When you go somewhere to learn something, what is imparted to you is what those men and women have learned. And I want to say something. Not everybody's right. Sometimes we come under false teachings or teachings that disparage the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we think to ourselves, well, that was then. I've heard that many times. That was an experience when the church in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, when it exploded with the power and a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But that was then. Listen, my Bible says that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So, why is it so difficult to believe everything that's in the Bible? See, it's easy to believe some things. You know, I know that I like going to buffets. How many people like going to a buffet? You know, there's a place up in Kingston. I don't know the name of the place, but I can't remember it. But it's basically Chinese, Asian, buffet. And when I go to a buffet, I choose all the things that I like. You know, I like fried dumplings. I like the crab rangoons. Anybody with me here? You know, I like those little baked goods, you know, that have all the seeds on it, sesame seeds on it, and it's got this really neat thing on the inside. You know, and so what I do is I fill up on all of the good stuff that I like. I don't go for the rice. I don't go for I was going to say linguine, but they don't call it noodles. You know, I go for the stuff that I like, and I reject the rest. Many of us approach the Bible that way. We go for the stuff that we like, but we're not willing to receive the stuff that's hard. One of the hard things that many Christians struggle with is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Clear as day, it's in the Bible. Clear as day, Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That was Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down. The people in the upper room receive this anointing, this power, and they began what? Speaking with other tongues. I've heard people say this. I say, well, wait a minute. I already have the Holy Spirit. I'm born again. How many people believe that when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit? Absolute truth. Absolute truth. When you're born again, that means you've repented of your sin, you've turned to Jesus, you've believed upon him, that what he did on the cross of Calvary, that has taken away all of your sin, and you are now in the family of God. You are part of the family. You can be the prodigal son, but when you still always have a family. You can be the son that stays. It doesn't matter. You're still always be a part of the family. The baptism of the Holy Spirit means that you have received what the Holy Spirit has to offer. I heard someone say this week on TV that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, the question here is, you know, let's say your mother-in-law moves in with you. I heard somebody moan. I did. I heard somebody moan. Your mother-in-law moves in with you. She lives in your house. But have you received your mother-in-law? There's a big difference. Your mother-in-law has moved into the house, but if you want peace in the house, you have to receive her. You have to accept her as part of your family. And it's the same way with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As a born-again believer, we know the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. But then there comes a time where you have to make a decision to receive what's already there. It's like not the prodigal son, but the son that stayed home. The son that stayed home had it all. He just didn't know to ask. He just didn't know to ask. All he had to do was ask. And it's the same way the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is ask. It's already there. It's available to you, but you have to ask. A real sticking point with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of speaking in tongues. A lot of people have problems with tongues. They struggle with tongues. Not everyone. You know, I've heard it all. You know, I've tried it. It didn't work. Let me tell you what the benefits are. We see the benefits in Romans 8:26, starting in 8:26. And let me read, and just listen carefully, it's not going to be on the screen. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. What does that say? The Spirit, the Spirit in you knows how to pray. knows how to pray correctly. When you don't know what to say, when you don't know how to say, you don't know how to put it, the Spirit knows how to do that. It says, and he makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, the Spirit, when he prays, prays perfectly. The Spirit in you, when you allow him to pray, prays perfectly. Remember, the Spirit is from God. You have the Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit. But it's learning how to allow that Spirit to pray. And then it goes on to say, and we know all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says that when we pray in the Spirit, we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are some churches that will not preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are some churches that deny the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm thankful that in this church we don't. But I also recognize that God has more. And the only way we can enter into the more is to learn to trust by receiving the Holy Spirit, which is already present in us, but receiving him in a different way. Receiving him as the one who is going to lead us, the one who's going to teach us, the one who's going to show us. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was many, many years ago. I'm a very private person, some of you are going to be able to relate to this. But when I had people pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was expecting some kind of experience. Nothing. They sat me in a chair, and they had five or six people around me laying hands on me, praying for me, and I'm there, and nothing. They said, begin to pray in the Spirit. Nothing. And so when I walked away, I began to doubt whether anything had happened. Let me tell you, something happened. But I let my pride prevent me from going all the way with it. I was more concerned about the people who were praying for me than what God wanted to do in my life. I was more concerned about how I would look and appear to others, and so therefore I began to stifle what God wanted to do. But then over a period of time, I decided that I was going to pursue God. And as I began to pursue him in the area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues, I got one word. That's all I got. And I did the, is this really you, God? Or do I just want it so bad that I'm making it up? And I decided to trust God. And I just began to speak the one word under my breath. And over time, I began to speak the one word a little bit louder. And over more time, the one word became two. The two words became three, until it became a language, a spiritual language, that when I pray in the Spirit, I know God hears me. When I pray in the Spirit, my spirit is built up and I'm comforted. When I pray in the Spirit, when I'm going through a crisis of some kind, then God will speak to me and direct me in the right way. For those that have been prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, nothing happened. Let me turn you to Luke chapter 11. I encourage you to read all of Luke chapter 11. I don't have time to read it, but I want to, beginning in verse 5, let me set the scene. In the Mideast, hospitality is a very great and important thing. And there's a story about a man who has a visitor, an unexpected visitor, and he has no food to feed him. So he goes to his neighbor, and he begins to knock on his door, and he begins pounding on the door. It's midnight, and he hears a groggy voice on the other side of the door say, go away, go away. But he keeps pounding. He keeps asking. He keeps knocking on that door, saying, I need 3 loaves of bread in order to take care of my guest. And the man on the inside says, no, I'm already in bed. I'm in bed with my children. I will not come to the door. But he keeps pounding. He keeps knocking. He keeps asking until eventually the man comes out and gives him what he needs. Then, I'm going to pick up with Luke 9 because it's treated as two parables, but it's one story. So Luke 11, 9, Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, here we go. The punchline. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Our Father is a promise keeper. We sang the song. He's a promise keeper. There's the promise right there. If you will ask, if you will seek, if you will knock, he will fulfill the promise. Some of us, we just walk to the door and the door opens for us. But for some of us, we have to knock on the door. We have to seek, we have to ask, we have to press in, we have to push in. And never despair and say, oh, it's not for me. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. In Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14. For this is the reason I bow my knees to the Father, my Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now here's verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You have untapped power in you. All you need to do is ask. All you need to do is seek. All you need to do is knock. And if you're here today, and if you're out there in the audience, and you've been frustrated because you thought somehow God was withholding this gift from you, then I want to encourage you to just keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, and he will give it to you. I want you all to stand with me for a moment. And those that are out in our streaming audience, why don't you stand right there too, because the Holy Spirit of God can touch you right where you're at. His spiritual kingdom covers the whole earth. There isn't any place that you can go where you can't find him. But I do want to say to you, Jesus came so that you would have eternal life. The Holy Spirit came so that you can have victory in this life. How many people want victory in this life? Anybody here? Yeah. Then you need the full package. You need the full package. You need to receive Jesus as Lord, which I believe that you've done, Lord and Savior. But you also need to receive the Holy Spirit. He's like the good mother-in-law. He already lives in your house. He already lives in your house. And with the same faith that you believe that Jesus rescued you, that same faith you now need to apply to the Holy Spirit, that you would receive him. And that's all the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It doesn't mean someone has to lay hands on you. It just means that you've made a decision to receive all that he has for you. And that there's an evidence that goes with that. And the evidence is for your benefit. And the evidence has to do with speaking in tongues. It means letting go of your mouth and allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you. The Holy Spirit knows what to say, knows what you need, and how to present it to the Father. He's interceding for you, in a sense. And so right now, just I'm going to pray a blessing on you. And if you want the baptism, maybe you've never asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You out in the audience, if maybe you've never asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then right now, that's what we're going to pray, that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've been prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you said, that didn't work. That's calling God a liar. And you're saying, today, I want more. I know the goodness of the Lord, and I want more. I've seen the goodness of the Lord, and I want more. So, Heavenly Father, as we gather here together in this room, and in those that are on the internet, Lord, right now, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would come down and touch every person here. I want you to repeat after me. Whether you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, whether you're struggling with it, or maybe you've never done it before, but just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, but I also thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I want more of you. And so, Lord, right now, I surrender my tongue to you, and I just release everything to you. And so, Lord, right now, just touch the men and women in this room. Touch the men and women in the audience. Touch the men and women in our streaming service, Lord. And just you do the work. No one else can do it. No man, no woman can do it. Only you. So we just release that now. Just cause your anointing to flow down. Oh yes, you're anointed to flow down. Oh, yes, even Jesus. Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, they saw the Holy Spirit come down and descend upon him. But it wasn't until he came out of the wilderness that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was only after he came out of the wilderness that he could say that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And in the same way, Lord, we ask for that touch from you. Lord, that you would touch every person here. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory, because it's all about you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah,